Man, this Mulkmanny thing has me thinking.
Has everyone thinking.
In one sense, he's right.
What?
I said, in one sense, he's right.
No, I heard you. You're an idiot.
Lou?
I'm sorry, but I have to call you out on this one. You know what? I'm not sorry. You can't say garbage like that.
What? That Mulkmanny may be right in some way?
I can't believe you're saying this. You are a moron.
Dang, that's harsh.
Look, in this life, some things are clear cut. You either come down on one side or another. And I'm telling you, you are choosing sides, man.
Because I said Mulkmanny is right.
You're a clown, an animal.
Who are we condemning?
Hardy, unfortunately. He said Mulkmanny is right.
You're an idiot.
Please explain to me why I'm wrong.
If I have to do that, it's too late. You're lost. Your brain has atrophied. You've lost all reason and heart.
What a clown jack you are.
What's wrong with you guys? We're friends. Why are you letting this destroy our friendship?
I'm not friends with pro-Mulkmanny monsters.
Monsters.
Good word. Not human, for sure. You aren't the person I thought you were. So we're not friends. I don't trust you anymore.
Hopefully you and all the pro-Mulkmanny types will get a disease and die.
Oh, for Pete's sake, that's awful. You guys are cruel.
We're cruel. We're cruel. We're the cruel ones.
Oh, my God.
Are you hearing yourself?
Why won't you tell me why I'm wrong? Correct me.
You know the arguments.
He's being aggressive. He's a psychopath.
I think that's it. That's got to be it. These Mulkmanny people have no souls.
Did someone say Mulkmanny? My blood is up. A group of us are thinking it's about time we stop talking about things and start doing something, taking charge and stopping these Mulkmanny types before it's too late.
Hardy is pro-Mulkmanny.
No, I'm not, though. I mean, I agree.
Let me at him.
Mr. Bourgeoisie.
Devil.
Mr. B, don't. They want that.
I don't want that. Who wants that?
I will stop you, types.
I'm not a type. A blood type. I'm A positive, by the way.
Hey, I'm A positive.
A posse.
I forgot what we were talking about. I remember that I hate you now, though.
Oh, we were talking about something Mulkmanny said.
And who is this Mulkmanny?
Oh, he's just a character I made up to demonstrate how quickly people can turn on one another over a perceived moral difference.
Ah, so there's no Mulkmanny.
Oh, there are many Mulkmannies, I imagine. And this is one of those you imagined?
Yeah, I'm sorry I wanted you dead.
That's cool.
It's hard not to want a bad person dead.
Ah, but you have to figure out what a bad person is.
Sometimes it's obvious, like a murderer or a cynical pop musician with more attention than they deserve.
I hate and fear everyone and then make exceptions as warranted as I meet people.
I hate work meetings and my life.
I hate Oscar the Grouch. He's negative and emotionally abusive.
I think you were using the word a little too freely, like some people do love.
I love that!
I love what you did there.
If you love it so much, fight tirelessly for decades for the right to why don't you marry it then?
Forgive me for hating you so quickly. I lost the courage to love you.
Oh, Lou, that's beautiful. I was harsh for wanting to slay you barehanded.
Grr. I don't know what to do with this energy now.
That's okay. Forgiven. Do we all forgive one another? I would also like to be able to take criticism better, but it's often delivered in such a condescending and mean way, or not at all, just insults. I understand. You know what you should do?
No, what should I do?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. B.
See?
So, if we can successfully be forgiven by each other, by other people, then we can move to forgiving ourselves.
Question.
Go right ahead.
I'd love to forgive myself, but my inner landscape involves God or gods. How do I go about getting the forgiveness of whatever deity or deities I have in my experience?
Well, your tradition probably has some rules, but I think if you are generally cool with other people, then your deity is on board. But again, you might want to check the local laws.
Question.
Go ahead.
What's this?
That is a wooden hat from the Consolium period.
Was that after the War for Right?
Yes, you know your imaginary history.
I was making up pseudo-historical tour monologues from the time I was like 9.
I used to pretend I'd created a whole planet and civilization and then settled down to a job at a history museum as a docent since I was the best informed.
My mom grew tomatoes.
Oh, that's nice. Fresh tomatoes. Everyone has a tomato story.
One time, my mom planted tomatoes, but instead, one of those two attached condo single-family homes sprouted. Not a duplex, but they share a wall. You know.
Was that in Florida?
Georgia.
Okay.
Question.
Go ahead.
Do you feel we are now avoiding conflict instead of dealing with it? Should we be having a respectful debate about a moral issue?
Oh, well, you know, it's up to you guys. Either way is fine with me. Sometimes I feel like talking about important stuff, and other times I like just maybe talking about food.
How is food not important?
Oh, bad example. You're right. Something unimportant.
Philosophy.
Philosophy, exactly.
Lotion or thumbtacks.
Well, I think I could find a way they might be important.
I heard that before you die, you have to write at least one song, and it can suck and be terrible and really short, but you have to do it.
Or?
I don't want to find out.
Here's one. You are wrong. I ain't writing a song.
And you're done. I envy you.
Well, wait, now I have no musical skills.
You could witness a crime, get interviewed, and then auto-tuned. That might count.
I was trying to kill Hardy, but I didn't succeed, though.
Now I'm the only one without a song. No, I don't have a song of my own. I feel sad. I got no song. This is wrong. I think I'm gonna lose my mind. Hey, I got mine done. Oh, now I got no goals.
Oh, there's never a shortage of things to do. In fact, my motto from a very young age was, never run out of things to do, or else your mom will find things for you to do. So are we back to loving one another and getting along and smiling even though we disagree and we believe and think weird things and some of us are demonstrably mentally different?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Well, let's do our chant.
All right. Yes.
Team still love you. Go love drinks and card games.
Planet Health always.
Boom.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, on an imaginary spaceship where we don't go anywhere because we get bogged down with picking the fabric on our seats in this imaginary spaceship. And I think we should go with some kind of faux leather or naga hide. And you're saying, well, no, I want something more like cloth or the rope of the kings. Is there rope of the kings? Do you mean corduroy? And you go, yes, corduroy. Of course I mean corduroy. What kingly ropes doth thy wear as pants?
Fools!
Okay, that was great. Sounded great. Let's get another take.
All right.
It was great. Let's just have a backup.
Okay, no problem.
So here we go. Take two.
Fools!
Okay, yeah, a little more sinister, maybe.
Okay.
Can you get a little more sinister sounding? Take three.
Fools!
No, I know. I knew immediately.
Yeah, it's not
I
quite.
I didn't get enough air at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do take four.
Fools!
Not quite.
That felt okay.
No, not quite there. Let's, Let's do it again. A little more energy, a little more sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, it's not easy on the voice, and the more I do it, the harder it is to maintain.
Yeah, but we're going to get it. So here we go. Take six.
Oh, I was choked there. Sorry.
That's all right. Just keep rolling. Same take.
Fools!
No, but maybe if you...
Okay.
Put a little more, you know, right, like a little more energy into it. He's very, you know, angry.
Whoa.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time getting in there.
Do you need a minute?
Fools.
Do you need to take a break?
I'm not pretending here. I've lost it. I don't know where it is. There's not one of those takes is any good?
I guess we're not going
to. I just can't imagine that.
We're not going to get this, then.
People ask me, they say, Hardy, why do you work alone? Well, I don't know exactly. I love people. As you know, sometimes it's difficult to cooperate with others, especially when there's decisions to be made. And sometimes it's just easier to do things yourself. Say, oh, forget you. I can dress myself. Just do it by yourself. It's better to cooperate. I can't remember why it's better to cooperate, but I know that it is, because others also have good ideas. It's just sometimes it's getting them together. How do you integrate other people's wrong, misguided ideas into your system, which is absolutely, utterly correct, and your judgment, which is infallible? Well, as we know, I'm being a little superphonicalist here with that. That means not exactly being truthful. I'm having fun with the truth. That's what that word means. Don't ask me to repeat the word. I have a word-a-day calendar, and it's also, it's a forget-a-word-a-day. It doesn't say that, but it teaches you a vocabulary word, and you think, I'm going to accumulate all these into the world's most conquest vocabulary ever. But it doesn't work that way. And I guess unless you have a test on it, that's the thing. You got to cram. You must have some kind of threat of pain. And that doesn't mean physical pain, but it could be the pain of failure. Say, if there's a D on my report card, I'm dead. It's not. You're not really going to be dead. Archie Comics always said that all the time. Say, my parents are going to kill me. I'm so dead. Say, Archie, Veronica, Timmy is not one. It could have been. I don't know about the Archie universe. So much went on. That book, the Bible, is so huge now for it. It's bigger than all the comics that have been written. Oh, what do you mean by Bible? On TV shows, sometimes they have a Bible. I know this because I'm a professional television writer. That's not true at all. It's because I am popular media. Now you know everything about things that go on behind the scenes. Any old viewer knows all this lingo from show business, and none of us have been in the business of show at all beyond the playing at the American Legion Hall level, which is my level of playing. I usually play. There's a stage, and that stage is basically available to anybody who rents it. It's either at a church or some kind of other facility. Maybe it's at a Rolfing business, and the business is down. They say, we need a sublet. Now, come on in here and perform. Hardy White, is there anyone with you? No. Don't you have anybody that works with you? No. Why is that? I can't, because I can't get along with others. Now, you see, the product of my non-cooperation, I could be maybe more professional. No. I could, maybe my show would be, no, of a higher quality. No. And it would be funnier. No. More clever. No. And more suitable. No. To commercial success, possibly, if I had cooperation with others. And other people were telling me that this idea that I'm really excited about is stupid. Sometimes we need that in our lives, and we let family do it because, you know, we're already disenchanted with family because we already have smelled them and seen them in all sorts of situations. We know that they stole from the dog or something horrible. So I know all your dark secrets. So it's actually easier for me to allow you to speak frankly to me, just like the fool and the king. The king always had a fool, and he would say, fool, like, I can't do it now because I've ruined my throat. And the fool would say, I got some advice for you. You sit back, tell me your feelings. And the fool would hand you Kleenex and everything, and you cry, and you go, that's probably what's holding me back, is my stupid self-esteem, like that. And the fool would say, you know what your problem is? A lot of cultures and religions do this. They speak, they give somebody the authority. Maybe you're possessed or something. And they'd rather hear it, I'd rather hear it from one of the gods. So that God speaks through somebody. Say, you're an idiot. Thank you, Lou, for speaking through me. Oh, sometimes we just need to be a megaphone. Don't you think? Say, yes, I just want to be like an old-time crooner. Somebody's putting up their mouth against the, oh, you know, it's a terrible analogy, I think. I was going to, just to get just like a Rudy Valley mention, I was going to accidentally say awful things. But the hole at the front is your mouth. And the things that come out of there really are like nostalgic, wonderful crooning. that moves the heart. Oh, the things that can come out of our mouths that can move people. You can inspire all sorts of emotions, like if what, if like chewed up food falls out of your mouth, like it was sitting up here in your gums. You have bony overgrowth on your gums. The bone grows out, creates a little shelf, and masticated food material gets up in there. Sometimes you don't even know it's there. And then you might be fiddling with your tongue, and out pops a really old gray piece of chewed meat. What are people going to think? Now, you can say that in the form of words, too. So if I'm spitting out chewed up, fetid beef, I don't know what kind of beef it is, all right, then what are people going to think of that? What's the reaction going to be? If I'm just using common sense, if I scream at people that they're idiots, will they see my viewpoint? They should. Fools. Fools. And today's sermon is entitled Fools. Should we call a, this isn't a sermon? I'm switcheroo-ing on you. It's not a sermon at all. Why would I do that to you? You didn't ask me your opinion. Why did you come into the store today? And why do you call the show a store, Hardy? Because it's like a store. I should have a little bell sound effects. Ding, 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 ding. Come on in. We don't sell anything. But it's nice to put us on your list of errands before Aaron. Aaron. It's a boy's name. Between you going to the clothing shop to get an item and then to the clothing cleaning shop, the dry cleaners, and then you go somewhere else to get a wet vac, but in between the dry and the wet is right here, the slightly moist, Hardy. And you are welcome into this space, which is not a store, but it is a store. It's a take one, leave one area. People bring items in, say, that was my thought. Say, I'm going to have a store. Where people just bring items in and leave them, and others come and take them. And now, I have nothing but 80s televisions. And we're stuck. Because what happened is that people are always willing to give up something they don't need. It's giving up something that you need that's difficult. Which is why I always ask people who come in the store, can I have your teeth? And they say, well, no. And sometimes they say it with an expletive. That rhymes. It doesn't rhyme with teeth. I was going to say it did, but it doesn't. There isn't one. I could send you all day thinking about it, though. Say, Hardy says it's a bad word that rhymes with teeth. It'd be like bleeth, cleeth, teeth, feeth, all at work. Everybody in the office be going through all the letters. See, there must be something. Oh, my goodness. Should we trust? I've talked about trust before on the show, and so I'm not going to talk about it more. If I talked about a word already, then I'm probably not going to revisit it. But you may say, well, take your cue from Rick Steves and revisit someplace you've already been, but maybe give some advice on how to do it less money or how to meet people or something. And I always think Rick's also a marijuana advocate. He ought to do it like a smoke it up tour of Europe or something, I think. Just why not? Oh, bless us. I tell you what, we all have things to offer one another, don't we? We all have something that we could give that is necessary. It's very difficult to give up something precious. They have done scientific psychological studies where they've taken someone's precious heirloom, right? And they say, well, now how do you feel? And then people go, terrible. I feel terrible. That's something that really meant a lot to me. So say, well, then why don't you give it away? Well, I can't exactly. There are so many other things that are precious that you can give away that you get back immediately. Unlike gold, not true with gold bullion. So if I had gold bullion, and don't use that anyway, because the soup it makes is watery. Anyway, that's a granddad joke. But my granddad used to make gold soup, and it was good. You got to know what you're doing, though. It's like blowfish. You can't just go around eating precious metals like that. You have to know what you're doing. They have to be cleaned properly. And he would say, well, always use copper cleaner on copper, brass cleaner on brass, gold cleaner on gold, But why they call it vacuum cleaner? I guess I did that last week, didn't I? Talked about that. Oh, my goodness. That's my attempts to come up with little jokes. Why do you even bother? Artie, you're no comedian, clearly. Why do you even bother? I go, well, there could be a talent show at an organization I'm involved with. And whenever that's happened, I always think I'm talented until I go to come up with an act, and I can't. And I think, well, maybe I have no talent. And I go to the talent shows, and people get up, and they do things that are interesting. And I think, well, they must have worked a long time on that. And my goodness, I'm going to look like an idiot. What is my talent? Your talent is telling people stories that aren't necessarily funny or interesting. Well, you know, it's not going to go over well, especially in the kind of 3 minute or whatever they give you up there. I got to do something else, like learn an instrument or something. That's why I started learning fife and all, because I thought everybody likes an 18th century fife song or one, or just a drum, just some dead-sounding drum that I beat and chant. That's better than nothing. Oh, because you want to give back to the community. You have to go up and do these things. Say, I'm not going to embarrass myself at the talent show at church. Say, I'm not going to embarrass myself at the talent show at school or synagogue. I'm not going to, my militia or some other revolutionary armed cell, I'm not going to, we have a talent show, I'm not going to do it and be an embarrassment. And say, well, that's why we all have to do it, to show that we're willing to give up a little something. And even if it's our dignity or pride, to say to the group, hey, I'm not above you. And that's why we have the de-pants the colonel thing that we do in the army and everything. I don't know if you know this, soldiers, but it's routine that when the colonel passes and salutes you, one of you runs out and pulls his pants down like that. You'll never see that person again because they're promoted to general. And then they'll go away forever to that promotion. Oh, don't believe everything that you are told on the radio. Most of it, though, is good information. Most everything that you hear on the radio has to be true. The government regulates it and takes out all the lies. They say it's a lie. The S word or whatever is a lie. Can't be said. Also the other curse words. However, you know, everything else is pretty much debatable. We just don't want anybody to think something creatively if it's going to put some kind of image in their head that we don't want there. Well, why would the government mind what images are in your head? Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they mind, but they don't mind. Who is the government but us? Who is us but them? Who is us? Don't us until you, them of their eyes that you see. Said Pogo. I don't know who that is. But a lot of people have observed that over time. Gosh, are we our own worst enemy? If we are, I could save us a lot of money on military expenditures. Because we could be doing this at a Waffle House or something. Instead of going real far to do it. Have the conflict local. Oh my goodness. Just make, if you thirst for war, fatal football games. There, that has it. And that used to have people run out of people to have war with in primitive societies. They go, oh, can't get my killing Jones satisfied here. So, well, let's just kill the other team or something. So with that, Hardy, this is awful. Shall we explore the awful places in our hearts then? Maybe we could do something about them. Maybe there could be a cleaning. I brought my saxophone in to be repaired. And the saxophone repairist, but there's a name for it, I think it's clockmaker, said, see, people think a clockmaker makes clocks, but they don't, they repair watches. That's what I thought too, and I was called an idiot. I thought that was a what? Well, repair clocks, not watches necessarily. Anyway, I'd de-pants. What I'm really trying to say to you is, oh, friends, if there's a talent show, get up there and do something. And if you don't have something, maybe you should be preparing something. Maybe that you should be writing poetry or composing some songs or making. I'm going to look around now. I don't have any real instruments at hand, but I'm going to show you anything can be an instrument. Even this old bowler hat. It's terrible. That's not it at all. I remember watching the Sesame Street one time, A lot of times when I'm sick, I'll have a lot of cognitive brain dysfunction or something, and I can't follow any storyline of normal soap operas. So I'll go, oh, I'm just got to just get some Sesame Street. And then I don't like the new ones. So I'll just watch the old ones because I recognize the characters and everything. And also it's difficult and bittersweet for me to see people age. And so I watch the old Sesame Streets, and one of them, Bert, comes out. And Bert has an oatmeal box. I'm not going to tell you the brand because it promotes a specific religion. But he has this oatmeal box, and he says, I'm going to demonstrate to you how this mere oatmeal box can be used to entertain and edify your fellow man. That it's not just a humble container for sustenance. I say it's not just meant as a grain-tainer, but it's also a musical instrument. And then he proceeds to sing in song form. I got an oatmeal box, etc. Then I know exactly how many notes were allowed. Two. I don't know if you know that. Say, oh, if you play a certain amount of notes, you got to tell Butthat or one of those associations that pays people money. I'm not for stealing, but I'm for like. If just putting your finger in something and getting, I'm not going to steal your pie, but you're going to notice the whipped cream's gone on the, well, just on the one little, it's maybe an inch of it. Buddy, I took like a little taste. You know, you can't walk into your poor neighborhood wearing all those diamonds, and I'm not going to say, you know, one of your tires is missing. I'm not, you know, we didn't take a diamond. I don't know what to tell you. And I feel that some way with ideas and all, you know, if you have something that benefits mankind and help others, you know, but don't exploit that fact that you can help. By saying, how can I make myself bigger and better and lord over that person because I can help them? If I have a story that can help you, I'm going to tell it. Even if I feel that it makes me look not superior. In fact, I do that on purpose, so that I purposely bring myself down a little bit, because it's easy to think you're great, isn't it? I say, no, I got the opposite problem. You got both problems then, because thinking that you're the center of everything is just an underlying noise, background radiation of the Big Bang of your birth. You are born and you feel as if you're everything because it's all from your perspective because of your brain. You're looking out and you're getting the light and the light's coming in now and it has all sorts of things in the way, goo and human hair and everything. And then you say, ah, there's it. No, you don't have any of those words. You just go, ah, primal things. But it's you, right? And as you grow, You, it's still about you. Feed me, mama, mama, mama. You cry when you feel displeasure. And then you get older and you realize you're not alone, that others have needs too. And then it's possible to start thinking that they're more important than you are. Because I'll tell you what, life will show you that in a minute. It'll yell at you. It'll put you down. It'll make you feel inferior and say, I'm not as good as that other person. So then you start to dislike yourself. But yourself always likes yourself. So you have a self that dislikes itself. And basically, that's like somebody eating their own feet in an everlasting circle. Like a snake? Well, a snake. More like a... like a cat starts eating. My dog will start to bite its tail. And it would start to eat. And it would work its way all the way to the head. That's what it is. Oh, physician, consume thyself. Make a soup of yourself or consomme. Make yourself the little piece of tripe at the center of a clear broth. Oh, hoist the spoon above your head as if it were a scimitar, and bring it down into the broth, as if you were a conquering knight.
You must feed yourself and your soul. You must smell this odor, this beautiful savory smell, indicating sustenance, life, hope, liquid, liquid life, liquid hope is sustenance, soup, soupness. Well, I'm not reading the poem, I was just trying to make it up. I have to go, so I am invited constantly to poetry slams. They'll say, Hardy, please come to our poetry slam. I feel the need to tell you this story isn't true. I'm making it up. So, there you go. But we're still going to go with it. I'm invited all the time to poetry slams. I love to tell stories, but I hate to lie. That's why I always do that, because I feel like this is one of those stories that people could think is true, so I better say it's a lie up front. A lot of ones are spaceships and time travel. You're like, brr, that's not true. That's so ironic. But this one you think is true, so I don't want you to think it's true. I'm not invited to poetry slams. And this poetry slam that I'm always invited to, the point of it is to actually heckle people. So what we get judged for is the writing of our insults and our criticism. Well, what's happened over the years is people got a little bit tired of being mean and aggressive to one another when they hurl their insults and their heckling at the person reciting their poetry. So it was kind of rethought, and they thought, well, instead of that, we'll like yell constructive things. We'll try to help. And this mutated even further, where people say, well, I want to help without seeming that I'm helping. And so their help takes on a sort of self-deprecating character. So the people yelling from the audience end up sort of yelling goofy encouragement as a form of heckling. Isn't this interesting? Because what happened is all these people started coming to the same shows and meeting one another, and they didn't dislike one another, and they started to care about one another. And as they did, things got better and better and better. And the poets that would go to these poetry slams were known as the best around, because they were learning from one another and cooperating. Now, in my opinion, it still sucks. It is pretentious crap, I think. Just these people. Again, people are being offended right now. Think about it. I bet I just offended somebody, and yet I'm talking about a completely made-up situation with made-up people that you don't even know. And yet, you had imprinted something on it. You'd say, well, that's like my friend Trey. And then when I said something, you thought I insulted Trey. How many times a day do we do that? Oh, my goodness. I ain't talking about you. I ain't talking about you, friend. I ain't talking about you. I'm just saying, and I swear that I'm not trying to hurt a soul. So if you feel I've said something hurtful, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Say it three times. Say I'm sorry three. Say it times. Say I'm sorry three. Say ask for forgiveness three times from your fellow human being. And if they turn you down, they turn you down, but you can let it go. Say you're sorry for what you did. Say you're sorry. Make it sincere. Ask three times. Try to make the connection better with that person. That's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to heal it. So what can I do to heal up? Say take some of that figurative spiritual Neosporin first to clean the wound. Come to me. What have I said to you? You said my nose is big. Apologize. It's not even funny. I didn't even mean that. Let's first clean the wound. Okay, how are we going to clean the wound? I'll use my big nose. All right, whatever. Get it cleaned up, and then we repair it, and we go back to trusting our love for one another, and then we can cooperate. It's difficult to take help from somebody who you don't think has your best interest in mind. Would you go to a doctor who said, hi, welcome to my doctor's office. I do not have your best interest in mind. Say, what, sir, are you saying, sir? Say, first of all, I'm a woman. Say, okay, why was I saying sir? Because you assumed I was a man, because I'm a doctor. But I'd just like to point out that everybody, all the doctors in this medical practice, are women. In fact, my grandmother was a woman doctor. How about that? I'm sorry for making that assumption.
That's what I'm telling you in a kindly way. I'm not trying to make you feel bad or put you down. But there you go. You have little assumptions about things. It's trying to help you get rid of them. But I still love you and I still treat you.
I don't get it. When I first came into this doctor's office, you said you did not have my best interest in mind.
Ah, you're very astute. Yes. I was able to correct you and still be an awful person. How is that possible? I've been corrected by awful people before, especially some teachers. So, yes, I know that, you know, on the weekends you're murdering puppies or something, but everything that you've said about algebra is true. So I'm going to believe you. If we are looking for perfect messengers, then you need to order something from UPS or something. But most human beings are not perfect messengers. Someone can deliver something to you that's true. And just because they're really incredibly awful doesn't mean it's not true. Now, I don't know. It might be. Who knows? But it just seems to me a big person that wants to expand their mind will take information from, as long as it's true, from, gosh, not people that are likable necessarily. And sometimes people who are likable can sneak bad information into your head. I used to have a doctor, and he used to, every time I'd go, he'd stuff things into my ears. I go, what are you doing? He goes, oh, it's therapeutic. Turns out I was a drug mule for years. I'd go into another part of town, they'd pull it out of my ear and everything. I go, what's going on? And I trusted him. But now I also verify. I wish I'd know how to say that in Russian. I don't know why. But then I could be a politician. I would like to stand up in front of my fellow man and say hello. Today I announce my candidacy for the United Group that gets together and decides the things that we're going to do as a group. Now, it does not decide all the individual things that you're going to do. You're still responsible for getting yourself up in the morning, for wiping your bottom, for getting something to eat, for going to the bathroom, for cleaning up all that, for doing it in the wrong order, and then having to clean up twice as much. That's your responsibility. But when we need to build things together, like a road from my barn to the place where I sell my peanuts, then you need to build that too. Because then I'll have a road. And we will all theoretically have it. I'll just use it, mainly. But we all need things no, that's not true, because we all going to have a rec center. So if we're going to pitch in for the rec center, I want to be elected to the board panel that comes up with what's going to go into the rec center. I'm telling you this right now. It's not going to be a traditional rec center. And it's not going to look like some kind of, I don't want it to look like some kind of high school auditorium, for one. All right? This is what I would like. And just please hear me out. And this is my vision. I would like it to be something a little more sophisticated. Big, empty, yes. But more like a large interior, maybe the lobby of a really swank hotel with an interior by Dorothy Draper. Something vibrant. Lots of color. You see what I'm saying? Not these kind of, how do you say it? Gymnasiums that they have at the school where they play dodgeball and cannonball and all that. And they have the baskets always hanging up there. Even when they're retractable, they look like, I'm just going to say it, they look like hell. All right? This is what I would have. Now, the lighting would be, you could still throw your balls around, and it wouldn't be dangly lighting, like there wouldn't be a chandelier or anything. It'd still be recessed and all. But just, there would be wallpaper. Why can't you have wallpaper? It could be durable enough. Wall fabric, too. Start to think like this, people. This is what I would say to the... I'm still in my imaginary speech to the board of group, or whatever it's called. Right? You realize that. These aren't things I really want. But if you really want them, you need to get up in front of your peers and say these things. And I would use your own words when you speak from your heart. And I would avoid trying to regurgitate propaganda, because it falls out of your mouth. It is like chewed up piece of meat that fell out of there, blah, blah, blah. You saw the remember from the earlier in the show. So you get together and we speak from the heart. You say, you could stand up in front of your city council and say, I'm afraid right now. I'm afraid of y'all. I've never done this before. And part of me thinks that maybe I'm not worthy to stand up here and speak in front of my peers. And then the mayor says, I'm so sorry, but your 2 minutes are up. Next person on the list, Max Hunemana.
These damn gates that they're putting up everywhere. Blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, you just get him back. Be a crank for love. Be a crank for justice. Be a crank for patience. Be a crank for tolerance. Be a love crank. Be a patience crank. You don't have to be cranky to be a crank. What are we talking about? I don't know. Cranks, I think. And I'm not cranking yours. But I would if you needed me to. We don't all have an auto start button. Some of us, you got to get down there in the hood and get them working again. Not everybody is so self-motivating. Some of us have been sitting, rusting in yards, neglected for years. We need someone to visit our field and say, that model was once noble and good and shiny, and I can get it running again. It has everything it needs. It just hasn't been paid attention to and loved sufficiently. I don't know why. But you go out there and you show that old car some love, and all of a sudden you've got something that turns head at the Whataburgers on 50s car night. So what? That's not from the 50s. That's from the 30s. Why is that here? And you get in a big fight with Nerf weapons. That's how these guys and gals roll. They're fun. Super fun. Super fun group to get together with. But we have a board and we have to meet. And we have to make rules sometimes because somebody was bringing their drunk cousin and it was getting out of hand. So we said, hey, no drunk cousins. And if somebody's got a drunk sister, we will cross that bridge when we come to it. Oh, and you know that bridge is privately owned, so I don't know what we're going to do about that. Strokes beard. I first became involved and interested in the works of Strokes Beard when I was a young man at Citytown College, where I studied briefly and other writings. Briefly was my favorite, though, because he had a kind of an edge to him, like Hopkins or one. I don't remember the name. I don't know whether these are philosophers or scientists or anything. That I can't remember. But some things stick with me from college. Like there was this one book with this vivid green cover, and I was like, wow, that makes me think I feel like I'm staring down at a golf course, is what I remember. So vivid. And I think, I could be remembering, what if that was a book of like anatomy, and it was the contents I remembered that vividly? I could be a doctor. But no, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a lawyer. And I'm not anything, all these buttons. One of them is a Native American spiritual leader. I've changed it. One of them's thief, which I didn't know was an occupation. Because I've seen so many people that have had that as a sort of a co-occupation. They're saying, yes, I'm a CEO, but I'm also a thief. Good for you. It's nice to dabble, have a hobby. Oh, my friends, examine your heart. You're going to find your heart is fleshy and strange and fatty. Sometimes when I don't like to eat animals, but sometimes they beg me. They say, please, please. No, that's never happened. But I have eaten meat in the past. And when I have, I've noticed, say, oh, there's a lot of fat. Oh, it's a creature, because it's a creature. It's changing my mind. I think it's something else. But I think, oh, that looks like a heart because, you know, heart is muscle with, like, fat on it. Now, I've never seen a heart for real. I've seen one in jars. When you go to, a foreign grocery store, say, well, we don't eat that here. No. It's usually at a medical museum. What am I saying? Or just sitting on a bar with the pickled pig's feet and the eggs. And then there's a human heart. I have seen a dog one completely covered with heartworms at the vets. That's horrifying. But I've never seen one beating in a chest. I've seen those operating shows on TV, how to operate and all, and they're intriguing. And should I ever, I'll be at a restaurant and someone says, I think I got a slight chest pain, I'll know to stab a knife in them and start working on their heart. But until that day comes, I can only use my imagination to see the human heart. And so I add to it. And I take that human heart and I give it all sorts of emotions and motivations and a little coat. Make a little coat, little boots go on the aorta. Little boots fit on right there and make a little, I make it a little tie. Because one of the other aortas I imagine is its head. Now I'm using my hand and my thumb and everything to be the, when I'm imagining this too. So I guess what I'm saying is I dress my hand up in little clothes, little doll clothes. Why? I guess I've given you something more than I needed to. Sometimes we feel like confession might be some sort of gift. And that if we merely confess things, we will A, get them off our soul, and we will B, be helping other people. But sometimes confession to me is like donating something to a secondhand store that's no longer any good, like an old worn coat or something. Why do I need this? Why don't you donate something that's useful? The best things at secondhand clothing stores are the suits of the dead. When the dead die, they are separated from those things that they still value. And so those things still have value. When we throw things away as living people, we often throw them away after they've lost all of their value. They are worthless and garbage. And that's what we give to our fellow man under the guise of a hand-me-down. Here, have this. I don't like it anymore. I got a new one. Oh, isn't there a way to get everybody one? Isn't there a way that everybody may wear the suits of the dead? The suits of the dead. Today's sermon is called The Suits of the Dead. Fools! It's not. Again, I feel like I need to title things. I feel like I need to say things to you that have themes that I've thought about, not just give you my discards. In fact, there's one story in my life that I have yet to tell. Perhaps I will never tell it, but I'm saving it as my final gift. Man, I better come up with one, because I'm making this up. Dang, now I've raised it. Maybe you'll forget that I said that. But it seems to me there is. There's got to be one story I'm not telling, that I'm saving, my most precious story. And what is that? What is the song that I am supposed to write before I leave the earth? Lou said everybody had to write a song. It didn't have to be good or long or tuneful. And what did he mean by that?
Nothing really.
No, come on, man. Let me make something out of it. A lot of times people will leave scrap wood on the side of the road, and many will drive by. And then there'll be those who pick it up and say, this scrap wood could be something, like a sign that says, free scrap wood, or I don't know, it depends how creative you are. It could be a clock. Anything can be a clock. That's just a cop-out. But what I'm saying is that maybe you ought to be a bit of a donator and a picker. Go look for that suit in your closet you can share. In your closet there are things that are better than worn underwear. There are suits handed down from your grandpa in the Navy. You can give it to someone who needs a suit for their new job. I said soup. Oh my goodness. Now I'll go off on a long story about a suit made of soup. That's just the kind of whimsy that Oh my goodness. I had a lot of inner anger at myself. I really want to be serious. And when I find that my humor is seeping out, it never seeps out as its most clever. You know what I mean? it always comes out, it's like, oh, Charlie's dad is carpooling us, and he's just silly and everything. It's such an embarrassing, nerdy, awkward, unlikable person. You fear that. You go, yeah, of course, that's exactly who I am. Oh, I'm just gonna have to be that. I wish I could be cooler. But I make mistakes. I do make mistakes. I do not look like I'm doing this. When I was on the bowling team in high school, and I was on the bowling team in high school, I wasn't awful. I wasn't good, but I wasn't terrible. What was the worst about me is my form. Just how bad I looked at doing everything. How difficult it came to me. How ungraceful I was. How strained my performance. I was digging deeper than everybody else because my technique was awful. And nobody really bothered to coach me because they knew how far gone I was. I was slinging that ball down there, and I was doing okay, and I never did better than okay. Sometimes luck would be with me, you know. They put too much wax on the lane or something, and my ball found a groove. But other than those times, I was consistently mediocre. But like I said, I made up for it with looking terrible. Now, what's that all about? Hey, I was on the bowling team. And I was out there doing an okay job, even though I didn't look as graceful doing it. And nobody could have put me down for that. Nobody puts you down for participating and trying. So you go out there and bowl more, because I just bought a bowling alley. And I feel like an idiot. I should have really checked to see if it was as popular as it was when I was a young boy. I don't know now. So let's just hope. Come on, everybody. America. Bowl America? No, I don't have a bowling alley. What am I invested in? Oh, living here. So if you want to start participating in metaphorical bowling league, will you just come on, do your best? That would be great. Can't duplicate the smell. Nothing smells like a bowling alley. It's a wonderful, magical mixture of chemicals and grease, food smells and people, the wax they use on the lanes, people, greasy French fries. Oh, greasy French fry people, which are fun. That's just the name of a bowling team. We all have cute, cute names. Oh, my goodness. As we visit together, I really, really do feel as if I'm in a hospital and you have come to see me because the judge made you. But I don't care. Good deed's a good deed. You were forced to do it. That's okay. I don't care. I needed the company. I thought you would let me speak like this to you, even though you may know more, have more to say. I sometimes think that. My listeners, and I call them mine because I control all of them. All of their wills are mine. They are my listeners. I own them as if they were some sort of animals on an animal farm. No. The people that listen to the show, I often think about because I've met some of them and a lot of them. All of them I've met are very bright people. And some of them are really accomplished people. And I think, well, why are they listening to me? And then I thought about this. Big Bach band Beethoven is not a real person. It's one of the best musicians ever. Could play the piano, the violin, or whatever. Sometimes sits around and just listens to his clothes dryer make a rhythmic beat. Now he's mad, but he's still, he's enjoying music at its most basic, even though he's capable of the most sophisticated of musical compositions. He still likes to listen to that shunkadunkadunkadunk, to that inadvertent, to that spontaneous, to that crazy rhythm of his dryer, of his clothes dryer that makes that noise when it gets lopsided or there's a sneaker in it. Shunka daddy. Shunka daddy. Shunka daddy. This has been... No, I wouldn't do that. Like, I bet... Because it seems to me I'm reading it off a piece of paper when I get dramatic like that. Every time I get dramatic, I feel silly. And so I must ruin it with a self-conscious fourth wall break or something. I just feel like... Oh, my goodness. I got to be more honest with you than that. I just feel like whenever somebody... I always feel like when I was working in a store and selling stuff, like I should be able to give people the other... Like, oh, this is a really good cheese. On the other hand, you know, but that's... You don't sell stuff like that. This is a very good wine, but frankly, you know, you've got to talk stuff up. And sometimes I have a hard time selling my ideas like that because I always feel like maybe I got to give you an opposing point of view. And then I think, are there opposing point of views out there? Do I really need to? Do I really need to? If I'm coming to you and I say, I want to make metal. I want to make some really heavy, heavy, nasty, dirty, filthy metal rock and roll music. Right? And then I think, well, maybe, you know, that's not everything. Is maybe I'll mix a little pop or country in with it. Don't. Why would you do that? There's pop and country. It'll take care of itself. Make the argument for your passion. Don't feel the need to dilute it. Dilute it anyway. You'll see that people who make high-end liquor always say, this is best enjoyed straight. You can put whatever you want in it. It's not a law. You can take that bourbon whenever and you can put soda in it. You can put stuff in your high-end rum, right? It's good enough to be straight, but you can mix it with anything you want. But the liquor company's not going to tell you that because their job is to make a good whiskey or good rum, not to dilute it. Others will do that for you. So don't make the gin and the tonic. I don't know. I think I give you nonsense advice. Now that I think about it. And I think that's good. I think I feel like it's like Hardy gave me a weapon. That's good. You can now defend yourself. You want to look at it? Oops, that's made of rubber. Why did he do that? He fooled you. Well, but I felt better. See, that's what I'm worried about. Oh, I hope that I... Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. If I've done anything inadvertently to hurt you or to cause harm, I do really sincerely ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to go ahead and assume you said yes. I heard you saying yes. Yes. I heard that. Was that you? Yep, that's me, your listeners. All right, thank you. Thank you, Lou. I needed that. Oh, my goodness. My friends. All of you. You're listening to me. You're listening to Hardy Wide. You're listening to WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope. WMFU.org online. And oh, right, and... 91.9 in Rockland County. Oh, Rockland County, forgive me. Forgive me. Oh, peace and good hearts, big old healthy hearts to all of you. And thank you so much for joining me. And I hope I haven't been too big of a fool. But I've been the good kind. So I'll see you again next week. Bless you.
I was standing. I was standing at the crossroads. And I
Good evening. My name is George Nelson from radio station KYOK. I'd like to present to you this evening from Houston, Texas, the Echoes of Zion.
Oh, if it was I, oh, for the Lord, what could I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, if it was I. starving land. If it wasn't, oh, for the Lord, what could I do? I don't know. There may be someone out there that's listening to me. And within your mind, you might form your own opinion about me. But you know what? God looks at the heart. Oh, yes, he does. Not only that, you might even go as far as to talk about me. Put my name out on the highway. I'm not gonna worry about it. I'll take it on home to my God. Oh, 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 he's my water, Lord, in dry places. He is bread in a starving. Oh, for the Lord, what could I do?
Right there, the Echoes of Zion. Of course, you already knew that.